Chapter 2. Why Your Prospect Doesn't Care What You Have to Say. The purpose of this chapter is to lay a little groundwork and set the right tone for the rest of the book. We're going to go over some basics, but a little basics never hurt anyone. I could assume that you've been through sales training before, but even if you have, it's probably safe to say that what you've been taught is much different than what the next MLMer's been taught, which is much different than what everyone else has been taught, and so on. So, to start off, allow me to give you one simple, overriding rule that governs everything we do. All good sales and marketing begins by putting the other person first. This is really interesting because good sales is actually very similar to normal life. What's the quickest way to bore someone to death when you first meet them? By only talking about yourself, right? We all know people like this. There's no bigger turnoff than someone who's obviously only interested in having a one-sided conversation. The best way to get someone to like you is to focus the entire conversation on them, because everyone loves talking about themselves to someone who is genuinely interested. Funny how that works, isn't it? Dale Carnegie, who wrote what is quite possibly the greatest book on personal communication ever written, How to Win Friends and Influence People, said, "You can make more friends in 2 months by becoming more interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get people interested in you." Once you've shown someone that you are truly interested in them and the things you care about, you've got their undivided attention and loyalty. Then when you actually do talk about yourself a little bit, they will return the favor and listen intently to what you have to say because you gave them an ear first. Good sales follows the same pattern. It starts by getting information, not giving it. In direct selling, this means asking questions. In other forms of marketing, like a website or video presentation, it means doing thorough research about your market and prospects beforehand. It means setting aside any predisposed ideas you may have and putting yourself in your prospect's shoes first. Yet how do most salespeople behave? The exact opposite, right? Once they get going, it's a miracle if you can ever manage to get a word in. Kind of like the motor mouth at the party who won't stop talking about how important they are and who never bothers to stop and ask anyone else about themselves. The funny or sad thing about people like this is they never even realize how bad they make themselves look. They're totally oblivious to it. The bad news is, a frightening majority of network marketers are guilty of this. They continue to drone on and on and on, long after the other person stopped listening to them. Just look at their prospect's eyes. Lost. Why do people do this? In the world of direct sales, we've been so ingrained with this idea that if we're not talking, we're not selling. So we're in an all-out dash to throw everything we know about our opportunity at the prospect and hope that some of it sticks. Hope that some of it piques their interest. Another huge reason is because of the need to feel in control of the situation. Many people feel if they're not talking, they've lost control, and they're not taking the conversation where it needs to go. So they talk at the prospect rather than with them. But this is the fastest way to lose someone. The second you start to overwhelm them with an abundance of meaningless features and benefits, they think, oh boy, here we go, and immediately check out. The moral? When it comes to selling, far too much emphasis is put on the product, and far too little emphasis is put on the person doing the buying. You'll hear me say this a lot because it's the main theme in marketing. The prospect is the most important part of the equation. The first time you actually personally get in touch with someone, as much as 80% of your time should be spent listening. You have to dig deep and find out what really drives them. When you focus the entire conversation on the prospect, you're making an ally out of them. You're building a relationship, and you're opening the door that will allow you to give them information. Because until you're able to address what's really important to them, all your reasons, as the great Claude Hopkins says, make about as much impression on them as water makes on a duck. Always remember this. People buy for their own reasons, not yours. It's so easy to forget this rule, even for sales pros who've known it for years. It's something you have to constantly remind yourself of because it's just second nature to assume that what's important to you will be important to the next person. Sometimes our excitement about what we're selling can actually be our own worst enemy. As they say, love can be blinding, and in our case, even dangerous. Kind of like the first-time computer buyer who goes shopping for a new PC and ends up being overwhelmed with a withering barrage of specs and features about graphic cards and cache memory from a guy who plays World of Warcraft for a living, when all he wanted was a simple office computer to type up some documents. Is it important to be enthused about your product and opportunity? Absolutely. It's critical for your long-term stability and commitment, but don't bowl your prospect over with it. You may have been told that having an uncontrollable enthusiasm for your opportunity is contagious, and it's the only thing you need to sell. This is far from the truth, and in fact, more often than not, getting all riled up just makes you look like some Looney Tune pushing Kool-Aid. All the excitement in the world isn't going to mean a thing to them if you're not hitting on their hot buttons. Ultimately, the only thing your prospect truly cares about is, what's in it for me? The key to this being that you must find out what their core emotional desires are. Because every decision, when it comes down to it, is based on emotions. You've heard it said before, and it is 100% true. People buy with their emotions and justify with logic. You simply must use this to your advantage. It's one of the most important weapons in your sales toolbox. All throughout history, the most successful, influential, and persuasive people have understood this core fundamental about human nature and have been able to exploit it to achieve whatever they set out to do. Once you've hit on a person's deep-seated feelings about something, you've tapped into one of the most powerful forces on earth. Just think about the intense feelings that many people have about subjects like religion, war, politics, and money. When I was young, I was always told to avoid subjects like these in social settings, and I could never understand why. I didn't get it until I became an adult and actually saw friendships ruined because of heated debates about these things. The same Dale Carnegie that I just referenced a few minutes ago also had this to say about us humans. When dealing with people, remember you are not dealing with creatures of logic, but creatures of emotion. And while there is a difference between an emotional decision and a logical one, when you really break it down, even the most logical choices can still be found to have emotional reasons behind them. I'm buying this car because I love the way it looks, and I want to feel good about what I drive. That's emotional. I'm buying this car because it has great safety features and really good gas mileage. That's logical. Or is it? Good safety features and good gas mileage. Okay, that sounds logical. But why do I want strong safety features? Because I want to feel protected when I'm on the road. I'm worried about being injured in an accident. So it's the avoidance of pain that's behind that decision. Why do I want high gas mileage? Well, with no end in sight to war and chaos in the Middle East, I'm afraid that at any moment gas prices will skyrocket again, and I'll have to refinance my house just to be able to drive a car. And I really don't want to have to cut back on some of my extra unnecessary expenses, like going out to eat and the occasional shopping spree, things I enjoy doing. But hey, if I was being purely logical from the beginning, I wouldn't have those spending habits anyway, would I? I don't need them. So basically, it's the fear of losing money and material possessions that's at the root of this decision. While we're on that note, here's a valuable little nugget of wisdom for you to store away. In most cases, negative emotions are more powerful than positive ones. A lot more powerful. The fear of loss or the avoidance of pain has a much stronger grip on the majority of us than the desire for gain or pleasure. For the most part, people will go out of their way to avoid discomfort a lot more than they will to improve the situation. And they respond greater to messages that stir up feelings of anger, skepticism, bitterness, fear, etc. Try this little exercise. Make two lists of as many emotions as you can think of, positive and negative. Which one is longer? Think about it. Why is it the majority of stories covered on the news have to do with crime, corruption, and disease? Good news just isn't as exciting as bad news. News stations have to report on all the bad stuff going on or people wouldn't watch them. Their ratings would stink, and they wouldn't be able to compete with the other stations who were reporting on anything from national disasters to government scandals. Like they say, if it bleeds, it leads. So in order for any marketing message to be as compelling and persuasive as possible, it must go beyond rational, left-brain thinking. Plain old dry logic is not enough. Understanding this is one of the biggest differences between great salespeople and regular salespeople. Striking the right emotional chord with someone can turn an otherwise run-of-the-mill presentation into a gripping message that's impossible to ignore. Let me stop here for just a second, because there's an important distinction that needs to be made, and that is the distinction between emotional-based selling and hype-based selling. A lot of people don't like the idea of emotional-based selling. They think it's something that's beneath them, maybe even unethical. Kind of sounds like you're taking advantage of others. But emotions are simply how we humans work. There's no getting around them, and there's absolutely no point in avoiding them. If you don't use them in your sales message, you're simply denying reality. Ignoring them when selling would be like saying, I'm not going to be romantic with the person I love, give them flowers or cards or take them on special dates or anything like that, because that would be taking advantage of their feelings. See where that gets you. Hype, on the other hand, is completely different and should never be used. Hype is lying. Hype is making your product or opportunity out to be something it's not. Hype is making false or exaggerated claims. Hype is saying whatever you have to say to hook someone in. Avoid this like the plague, because it's never worth it. You may get some instant gratification and some quick results, but in the end, it always comes back to bite you. That said, I think this is the perfect opportunity for us to transition into our next major point, and that is believability. You may not see the connection at first between this and emotions, but it will become clear in a moment. When it comes to selling, a lot of time is spent talking about why people should buy from you, but not enough time is spent talking about why people don't buy from you. We tend to focus on increasing the amount of people who say yes to our offer, rather than decreasing the amount of people who say no. There's a big difference. And decreasing the no's usually gives far greater results than increasing the yeses. So here, then, are the four major reasons why people won't buy from you. And remember, your opportunity is one of your products. I feel it's necessary to repeat this every now and then because I know sometimes it's hard to think of your business in these terms. Reason number one, they don't know about you. Reason number two, they don't want what you're selling. Reason number three, they don't want what you're selling more than what they would have to give up to get it. Reason number four, they don't believe in you. Together, these four reasons encompass every possible variation of why a prospect won't do business with you. If you can conquer every one of these, you will succeed. In this book, I talk about how to overcome all of them. But right now, we're going to focus in on reason number four. The fourth reason why people don't buy from you, because they don't believe in you, is one of the most, if not the most important elements in the whole sales process. It's also one of the most overlooked. The funny thing about it is that when most people see a sale slipping away, or when they've been experiencing a lot of rejection, or when their ad isn't working very well, their immediate gut reaction is to sell harder, inflate their claims even more, make bigger promises, ratchet up the hype. This is counterproductive. The reason people weren't buying from them in the first place is because they didn't believe them. Now they're only making things worse. Gary Bensavanga, one of the most successful and respected direct marketing copywriters in the past 30 years, talks about how your prospect or customer is looking for excuses to dismiss you because they've got 100 other messages they have to get to. The second they hear you overpromising, you've just given them permission to blow you off. As he says, nobody buys without belief, and if you can get them to believe you, most of the battle is already won. Here's where things really start to get interesting for us. In our industry, almost more than any other, the single biggest hurdle we have to overcome in our prospects' minds is they don't believe us. So how about that? One of the most essential elements to the whole process is also the one thing that is lacking more than anything else in our particular business. What a predicament. There are many, many reasons why people have a hard time sponsoring, and this is one of the biggest. We've talked about the importance of tapping into people's emotional wants, but let's take it even further than that. When you are selling something, it doesn't matter what, every person is going to have reasons for wanting to buy that are essentially emotional. But they are also usually going to have strong pre-existing feelings about the subject at hand, meaning your product, your opportunity, your industry, etc. These feelings are going to be based on past experiences they've already had with companies or products similar to yours, or things they've heard from other people, or certain personal beliefs they have, or something they read in a magazine the other day, or you get the idea. More often than not, these emotions are incredibly strong, and you want to make sure you tap into them, almost more so than any others, even their reasons for wanting to buy in the first place. Here's a great example. Many times in an election, people will vote for a politician not because they actually like them, but because they just despise the current person in office so much. They really may not have any valid reasons at all for backing the challenger. They may not even know a thing about them. But their disgust for the previous office holder is so great that they would literally vote for anyone else. See the difference? Another example could be the health and wellness / medical industry. Sometimes a person will look for alternative methods not necessarily because they really believe in them, but because the traditional medical establishment has let them down so many times and they're fed up with it. This emotional reason supersedes all the other ones. It's crucial to be in tune to these types of pre-existing emotions. Again, notice how they tend to be negative ones. Now, can you venture a guess as to what some of the strongest feelings are that people have about the network marketing industry? I bet you can. How about skepticism? Does that sound like one you've run into before? Distrust? Maybe a lack of credibility and professionalism? Could it be that people find it difficult to take us seriously? And frankly, with the common behavior of the average MLMer, why should they? Frustration's another big one. And seeing as how 14% of American adults who have been involved with our industry at one point or another, there's a whole lot of people out there who have had their dreams dashed and who got fed up with spinning their wheels, despite the fact that they were pouring their heart and soul into their business. They got sick of all the hype, no-substance rallies. They grew weary of having their hopes built up, only to be let down again. And when they left the industry, they told everyone about their experience. And bad news spreads faster than good news. I mean, who hasn't heard a multi-level marketing horror story before? So people outside the industry are used to hearing these tales of woe from disgruntled ex-distributors. And of course, they themselves are used to being hit up with all the wild and absurd claims about talking to just 3 people and then kicking back and living the lifestyle of their dreams while their business is being built for them. Just pick up a copy of some small business or network marketing publication at your local Barnes & Noble, and you'll discover that making 6 figures is as easy as pushing a button, according to at least 13 different ads. This makes it real easy for people to dismiss us as a bunch of con artists who will say anything to sign someone up. Things have improved a little bit over the years, but overall, network marketing is still viewed by a large portion of our society as a complete joke that's only for suckers. The result is that the people who are open and are actively looking for an opportunity still can't help but be somewhat tainted by the naysayers out there. They're suspicious of anything that comes out of a multi-level marketer's mouth. They don't just take what you say with a grain of salt. They take it with a heaping spoonful. These are feelings that, to one degree or another, nearly every person you talk to is going to share, and these fears must be overcome, or it's very unlikely that you will ever have them as a business partner. Here's a tip that's worth much more than what you paid for this material. Address their skepticism right off the bat, immediately. Don't avoid it. If the very first thing you do is hit them upside the head with the promises of unbelievable wealth and riches, they're practically guaranteed to throw up their defensive walls and ignore almost everything else you say. You've lost them. Address their skepticism right away, because it's there, whether they voice it or not. And it's the strongest emotion people have about network marketing, whether they're looking for the first time, or if it's their second or third time around, or fourth or fifth or sixth. The good news is we can use this to our advantage to boost our results big time. How's that? In marketing, differentiation is key. People need a good reason to pay attention to you, and toning down your claims can actually be a very effective technique for doing just that. Why? Because the bigger you make your claims, the more you are actually blending in with everyone else out there. By simply not coming out and making enormous claims, you are immediately setting yourself apart from others who carelessly throw around these wild promises. People want to work with someone who's honest, realistic, and isn't afraid to give it to them straight. Someone who's not blowing hot air. Don't get me wrong, you still have to answer the question of, what's in it for me? After all, we're all trying to gain something by doing this in the first place. I'm not saying in any way you shouldn't sell the financial possibilities of this business. I'm saying that because of the perception network marketing has in our society as a whole, and in order to gain their trust, you have to make their concerns and doubts a major focus of your attention. By doing this, you're saying, hey, I'm not interested in duping you into signing up here. I'm not trying to make a quick buck. I'm genuinely looking out for your best interest. Acknowledge that there is a high failure rate among home-based businesses. Address the reasons for this: lack of skills, poor marketing, insufficient funds, lack of commitment, etc. Set up realistic expectations. Talk about some of the lies out there about building a network marketing business. For more on that, see my ebook, The 7 Great Lies of Network Marketing. This positions you as someone who's on their side, someone who's looking out for them. This is such a refreshing change from what people are used to hearing, that they're magnetically drawn to this type of honest approach. Remember, we're trying to increase the believability of our offer. And one of the best ways to do that is to go easy on the claims we make. It's a surefire way to gain their trust and put them at ease. Once you've done that, you've got a green light to present your benefits. Let me give you a real-world example of how well this methodology has worked for me. If you go surfing around on the internet for information about network marketing, which obviously you've done because you've stumbled across my website, you will find a lot of sites that use big benefits to draw people in. They have a picture of Ferraris and massive 12,000-square-foot houses next to the beach, or headlines like, "Will you be one of the first millionaires created in the next 12 months?" When I first put up one of my websites, I took a somewhat similar approach. I had a headline that talked about how you could go from zero to hero in X amount of days. In the introduction, it talked about how much money you could make, how your downline would explode, all the stuff you'd be able to buy, and how you'd laugh at all your former financial worries. It did okay, but I knew it could do a lot better. What's your immediate reaction when you hear stuff like that? Yeah, right. So I totally switched my approach. I reworded everything. Instead of making claims, I went right for people's soft spot. I targeted their feelings, their emotions. I didn't mention anything about explosive results or massive checks. Instead, I addressed their frustrations and their pain right off the bat. I rubbed a little salt in the wound. Here's what happened. My conversions increased, by 163%. That means they more than doubled. Think about that. All because people's frustrations were targeted first. Then, later on in the website, I started to present the benefits I had to offer and what they could do for people. Do you absolutely have to go after their sore spots right away? Not necessarily. It may not be the best approach every single time, and it can be overdone. Plus, just as with anything in marketing, a lot of it can depend on what your prospect is used to seeing or hearing out there in the marketplace. But as long as the majority of our industry is trumpeting get-rich-quick type messages, which I don't see changing anytime soon, it's almost sure to remain a brutally effective method. All right, let's move on. We've talked a lot about emotions, but they are just one part of the equation after all. You have to lead with them, but you can't stop there. People buy with their emotions, and they justify with logic. After you get them firmly on your side, you've got to seal the deal with logical reasons why working with you is the best choice. So let's talk benefits real briefly here before we bring this chapter to a close. Here are some great examples that I like to use. One of my favorites. This is an unparalleled opportunity that's taken this industry by storm. Did you know they're writing books about us? Another you should try that works really well is, this is the most lucrative compensation plan you've ever seen. Or, our upline is unbelievable. They reach six figures faster than anyone in Region 4 ever has. Or, what's that? You say these don't sound like good benefits to you? Okay, how about this one? Our corporate leadership team is unmatched. They've got a proven track record of success. Big deal? How's that supposed to help you make money? I don't know, but the product sells itself. You say the last time you check products, don't just get up and walk into someone's house and start talking about what they can do for people? Yeah, well, hey, Joe Blow MLM guru came out of retirement to join our opportunity. He thinks it's that powerful. And if he thinks so, you should too. What's that? You don't give two hoots about Joe Blow MLM guru? But you don't understand. This one is different. Really? Listen, anytime you're thinking about giving your prospect a feature about your opportunity, first ask yourself this simple two-word question. So what? Put yourself in their shoes. Why would they care about that? What does that mean to them specifically? Until your prospect can see how a given feature brings value to them personally, it's just another vague statement that rolls off their back. Remember, your prospect doesn't care what you think about your opportunity. For example, it's the greatest ever. That's your opinion, and it doesn't mean anything to them. Really, it doesn't. Because everyone else thinks the same thing about their opportunity. The greatest ever, according to whom? Anyone can say that. How do you back up something like that? It's very difficult to, and it has no impact whatsoever on your prospect. In fact, it's actually damaging because it shows you're careless and have a tendency to exaggerate, which makes them discount what you say after that. Now, I was obviously being a little sarcastic with some of those examples above, and all of those features certainly can be turned into strong benefits when sold properly. But that's what everyone talks about. If we really want to be successful at this, we have to think outside the box. We've got to look at the bigger picture. Ask yourself, do any of these features or benefits about our company really mean anything anyway to someone who's trying to free themselves from their job? Do any of these benefits tell your prospects how you're going to be able to help them get what they want? Do any of them really tell them how they're going to make money? Do any of them tell your prospect how this whole confusing make money from home thing is actually going to work for them? Allow me to be completely honest with you. I would not place a lot of emphasis on selling your opportunities benefits at all. No, wait. Let me rephrase that. Forget about selling the specifics of your company because it's the last thing you should be concerned with. In the big picture, this is very poor marketing. Why? Because the most important benefit you have to offer your prospect has nothing to do with your opportunity. It has nothing to do with your product. You could even go as far as to say that if you're doing your marketing correctly, these become afterthoughts. They almost don't even matter. Almost. Poring over these details is getting hung up on all the wrong things. The reason you shouldn't be worried about selling your opportunity's benefits is because you aren't really selling a business opportunity. Confused? Let's pick this up later. Before answering that question, I'd like to let it just stew around for a little bit. Keep it in the back of your mind. For now, it's on to Chapter 3. This whole time, we've been talking about pushing people's hot buttons and tapping into their emotions and selling them benefits. But in order for that to even happen, there's a whole other puzzle piece that has to fall into place first.